Hello, good morning, how you doing? Waking up, waking
get up with
ladies and gentlemen,
Josiah and Ellie.
It goes like this.
Oh, feels like a post-marathon podcast intro is the word I'm trying to get out.
Wise. It's been a long morning for the old Ellie over here, hasn't it?
You and I have discovered something. We're going to give you a bit of a design. Oh my God, am I having a stroke right now?
Are you okay? Why don't you just take the next couple of minutes off and let me do this? It's
oh
been fun.
God.
It's been really fun, but I think it's time for a lay down.
All right. Okay. Yeah, you go.
We had some fascinating chats on our show today. You can say your point in a minute. Maybe take a while to think about what you're going to say.
Okay, I'm going to write it out.
We had the owner of Grunt the pig. He's this 300-kilogram pig. And the council aren't happy. I don't like talking by myself. Can you come back?
You're doing such a good job. You hadn't stumbled yet. I was really proud of you.
Why aren't they happy about him having a pig?
Because the pig's fat. And the council don't want it on their land.
Yeah, so they're trying to fine him for taking the pig for walks. It's a great chat. We also speak to a local couple who gave birth on the side of the road. We spoke about it yesterday, but we get the mother who gave birth, 45-minute labour.
This region, the Goulburn Valley, has really brought the goods today.
Haven't they? Tat chat. We divided the region as well.
Yes. The phones are ringing off the hook.
Hang on. We haven't even spoken about the other interviews we had. Harley Breen, hilarious chat.
Yeah.
And Georgie Carroll, one of the... I stuffed up. Georgie Carroll with one of the funniest chats we've ever had as well.
Do you want me to round it up? Because I'm feeling good now after my
rest. Yeah, go for it. What were you saying before?
No, I was just going to say, enjoy the podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks
for having
really
me.
Fun.
Yeah, you're great.
Oh, God, I'm turning off the mics before it goes downhill anymore. Bye.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch Up
with
Josiah and Ellie.
Hey, tomorrow, brand new show is coming to the Win Network, 8:40 p.m. It's called Taboo, and the host and comedian in charge of it all is the one and only Harley Breen. He joins us now. Morning, Harley.
Hello, and thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming on our show. Now,
very early in the morning as well, Harley Breen. Thank you very much for waking up for us.
It is a bit early. It's a bit rough when you're up late at night doing comedy.
Yeah. Oh, did you have a gig last night?
I did have a gig last night.
Oof, rough. What time did you finish?
Oh, about 11 o'clock. It's all right.
Yeah,
we're all
up
now.
That is so far past my bedtime. I'd been asleep for 4 hours by then.
Normally so would I, because I've got young children.
Yeah, right. Now, I am fascinated by the concept of this show. Can you tell us how exactly Taboo works?
Well, quite simply, I go away on holiday with four people that are from a marginalised minority, and 85% of the show is that experience, the footage of that experience, and it is classed as a documentary, and then 15% of the show is the stand-up comedy that I write and I perform in front of their faces.
This is fascinating, and I don't know how you do it. You're a talent to be able to write this. So I'm looking here. There's 28-year-old Lauren who suffers from cystic fibrosis. You spend time and get to know her, but then at the end, like you said, you got that 15% where you do comedy. How do you then turn that around and write some comedy about her life? Because that is really hard to do, but very clever as well.
It is rough. You know, she's been diagnosed with that from birth, so she has been dealing with a chronic illness all her life. And you're like, what you should do is hear that and have nothing but empathy and sympathy. Well, my empathy just works in a way of I want to make it funny. So I went, all right, how do we make that funny? And Lauren was really easy to make things funny. If anything, the challenge was that she was funnier than I was. You know, when you live with a chronic illness for that long, you're going to have a certain bent on life, and Lauren certainly did. Including, which I won't ruin the ending to, but she once tried to learn Spanish to trick her parents.
You're kidding.
After an operation, she wanted to wake up and just start speaking Spanish. And you'll have to watch the show to find out what actually happened.
Did you have to search far and wide to find these people that are willing to accept it, or do you find that there's a bit of humour in everyone that might be suffering in their lives?
Oh, look, I'd like to believe there's a bit of humour in everybody. And I really think there is, but obviously there's going to be a lot of people that are going through this kind of moment in their lives that says, no, I don't think I want to be involved in that. You know, that people are going to make their own choices on the way what they've got left is the way they're going to choose to celebrate and enjoy that. These four people were very willing participants, really wanted to be a part of it and really wanted to get their story out and in this way. So I mean, how do we find them? It's not an easy process for the caster. I mean, try selling this. You walk into some sort of palliative care place and go, hey, right, have I got the pitch for you?
I want this, my friend, to rip you to shreds on stage.
Oh. Yes, exactly. Oh, it's not an easy pitch.
Yeah. Do you ever, what, is there any moments in the show that you won, like stress that you've gone too far and said the wrong thing and offended them?
No, there's not really. I mean, there was moments where I went, I didn't work on that joke enough because that just bombed.
That's our show every morning, Harley, don't you worry.
Well, in my case, I could just look at the four participants and went, oh, now we're all dying. But no, there wasn't anything. I thought I overstepped the mark because the writing process and the transaction is with them and with their consent. And so everything was sort of based on whether I thought they were going to laugh at it and whether they would be okay with it. And fortunately for me, I'd got a pretty accurate gauge on them.
Yeah, right. Do you worry about backlash from the public at all? Because I know sometimes if we make jokes on this show that might be a bit politically incorrect, we're like, oh, God, we're going to get a complaint for that.
And we do.
Yeah, and we do.
Yeah.
Do you worry about that at all?
No, not at all. And you guys get complaints because you're at the peak of the complaint ladder, radio. People just love.
Yes.
There's somebody right now offended by what I'm saying right now. Write a letter, you loser. There's so many losers out there that have got, like, if you're the type of person that's got the time to write a complaint letter to radio, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm not taking it back. You're a horrible person. Look, I didn't set out, and I'm sure you guys didn't set out to offend anyone.
Yeah.
That's not what I set out. That doesn't mean that the show's not going to offend. It will, but that's on the person, not on me.
I feel like we're going to make that little recording, the answering machine at our station.
Play it to everyone that writes a letter.
Listen to Harley Breen, please.
Harley, I want to have a beer with you. You sound like me and my mates around the round table. Whenever you find something wrong in the world and you just have to find some sort of fun spin on it. So, no, it's a great concept and well done on putting the show together.
Thank you very much, guys.
Yeah, make sure you catch Taboo. It's on tomorrow night, 8:40 on Win. Harley Breen, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
And thank you. Cheers, guys. See ya.
See you, mate.
Later.
Hit Breakfast with Josiah and Ellie.
Now, I love this story so much. Came across my desk the other day. Last Thursday, there was a miracle on the side of the road in Maroopna, and it came courtesy of Michelle from Tatura. She joins us now. Morning, Michelle.
Morning. Okay. How you going?
Would you like to tell us what happened to you last Thursday?
Basically, I picked my daughter up from school and put on a spot of washing and did some vacuuming and everything. And about 4 o'clock, I started to have like just a mild cramp, nothing major.
Mm-hmm.
I'll keep going anyway. And it got to about 4:15 and they were getting a bit worse. So I rang my husband, Bryce.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, nah, I'm leaving, I'm coming home.
I feel like I should interject here and just say quickly that you were 37 weeks pregnant.
I know,
at the time.
I loaded a bag in the car, loaded the girls in the car. At this point, my contractions were, they were getting there. So, in between all that, trying to organise my kids, Bryce came flying through. We drove to Maroopna. By the time we got to Maroopna, the head was... He was there, so I think we're about Maroopna Estate. The head was out.
Oh, my goodness.
Then we got to the lights. I said, no, pull over, it's too late. And no shorter did Bryce get out of the door, ran to my door. The baby was out in his arm.
Wow. So from start to finish, how long do you reckon you were in labour for?
Maybe 45 minutes.
My mother was 17 hours with me, Michelle. She's very jealous.
I know. You can't complain really with that.
Was it painful? It's probably an obvious question, but like...
It was. But, it was that quick that you didn't notice.
Yeah, right.
So, you just didn't have time to think about it. And my poor girls were in the back seat. A 2-year-old was just like a sun mullet. She just was like, what was going on?
Where do I look, Mum?
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah.
Hey, Michelle, can I ask, if that happened to me, I would have absolutely no idea what to do and I'd just be a mess calling 000. What did Bryce, your husband, do? How did he know what to do?
My memories are vague, but I can just remember him being frantic. Like, he was panicking and he didn't know what to do. And we were so lucky that we had the right people stop for us. They had blankets and towels because they're on their way to netball training and they were mums, so they would just had their thinking caps on. They got onto the ambulance and they wrapped me, they wrapped baby. They just, yeah, they were phenomenal. So
he did
a really good job too. Like he kept his cool enough.
Yeah, so did you go straight to hospital afterwards?
No, we stayed in the ambulance for a little bit because the ambulance had to clamp the cord and everything like that. So we stayed there and they just checked on us to make sure we're all okay. And then, yeah, we went to the hospital and did all the other bits and pieces that you have to do. So,
unbelievable, yeah. Michelle.
Do they know why your labour was so quick?
Well, my mum had really quick labours too, so it can be a genetic thing, they say. So, yeah, but I'm not complaining.
Well, congratulations. I'm so glad that it all went well. Yeah. A bit of excitement.
Well, what did you end up having? Sorry, Michelle, and what did you name it?
Fletcher. His name is Fletcher.
Yeah.
Oh, well, welcome to the world, Fletcher. I'm sure he's got a story to tell for the rest of his life.
You should have called him Marupna or something.
McLennan.
I don't think so.
Oh, all right. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show this morning, Michelle, and sharing your story.
No worries. Thanks very much.
No worries. All right. Michelle was in labour for 45 minutes. I want to flip this on its head. How long were you in labour for? 13, 12, 16. We want to find the longest labour because I'm sure no one can beat 45 minutes.
Oh, surely not. Yeah. Like I said in the chat, 17 hours for my mum. I know someone as well. She was in labour for 27, a girl I used to work with.
Yeah.
Not nice. Mums, give us a call this morning. Your hubby's calling about your wives. How long were they in labour for?
Yeah, 13, 12, 16 is our number.
Get up with
Josiah and Ellie on Goulburn Valley's Hit 96.9.
Jodie from Yarrawirra joins us this morning. Morning, Jodes.
Morning.
How long were you in labour for?
I was in like 25 minutes.
25 minutes?
Yes.
Wow.
You beat Michelle from Tatura?
I had 3 contractions and it was over.
Oh my God.
Did you even know that it was a baby coming out or do you think it was something else?
No. I was in the hospital already. I was induced and my partner went downstairs for a cigarette and missed the whole thing.
One ciggy is all you need and you miss a baby. Who would have thought?
So talk.
Even the nurses thought it was too early, don't push, had a look and went, go.
Oh, my God. So talk me through, when you get induced, is that like a needle? Is that how it works?
Yeah, they put a drip in my hand and they inject you with some kind of fluid. I don't know what it's called, but, next thing, 3 contractions and she was out.
Were you overdue past your due date at the time?
No, I was on the exact date.
Wow. You never hear of that happening either, Jodie. How many kids do you have?
3.
And were the other ones short labours as well?
No, first one was 12, second was 6, and third was 25 minutes.
Yeah. Wow. Our family was very similar. We've got 3. I was 17, and then they got less and less. My younger sister was only a couple of hours. So it must be a running theme, Jodes.
Yeah, everyone said to me if I was ever to have another one, go to the hospital a week before.
You wouldn't want to go to the toilet, would you?
No.
Do other mothers get jealous of you when you tell them the story?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
25 minutes of pain compared to, 17 hours plus.
I've never had a kid and I'm jealous of you.
It wasn't even really pain. Been 12 hours the first one. I braced myself for it and then, nothing. 3 hours.
That is unbelievable.
No,
all right.
3 contractions and,
there you go. I didn't think we could beat Michelle with her 45 minutes, but we did. Thanks so much for your call, Jodie.
No worries.
All right, let's go from the shortest labour to the longest. Fee from Katandra, did you have a long labour?
So I started the contractions on the Sunday at midnight and then they stopped at 3 o'clock that afternoon. Then they started back up on the Monday at midnight again. And then I went to hospital, but they were on and off. So
like 2 days worth of labour.
Yeah.
Oh, Fee, that is insane. Was it worth it in the end?
Yes. I've got a gorgeous little girl.
Yeah. Oh, how cute.
Good on
Fee.
You. Well, you're an absolute hero. Well done.
No worries. Thanks.
Unbelievable. I can't believe how different it can be.
25 minutes to 2 days. No, thank you.
Yeah, I'll take the 25 minutes. Thanks, if that's okay. Crazy stories. If you've got any long or short labour stories, make sure you get in touch with us. We'd love to hear them. Hit GV on Instagram or hit Goulburn Valley on Facebook.
This is The Catch Up with Josiah and Ellie.
And I feel like our next guest, before we introduce her, we need to play her the song she just requested off air. So.
Yeah.
Please welcome to the show.
I've got a bit of an obsession with Billie Eilish.
Georgie Carroll appearing on Talking About Your Generation tonight, 7:30 p.m. on Channel 9. You're a big Billie Eilish fan, Georgie.
I've not even the music. I just love all her interviews. I love her album covers. She's been homeschooled and her and a brother do the songs together, but it's not weird. Because I often think brother-sister bands are just odd.
Oh.
And, yeah, they're just so cool.
Yeah, anyone that enjoys hanging out with their brother and sister that much that they can actually form a band together, check your life, Georgie. Yeah.
I know. And the brother's not nearly as famous, but he doesn't seem that bothered about it. I'm just like, they're so cool.
There you go.
Yeah.
Would you consider yourself a bad girl just like Billie Eilish?
Oh, I am so absolutely. The only times I've felt alive, sir, is times I've been doing stuff I shouldn't have been.
Oh, God. So, yeah,
I'm chaos.
Any examples of when you've done stuff you shouldn't have, or is that not safe for radio?
Not for breakfast radio.
This is why I knew we should have done the night shift. Devastating.
We'll talk off air about that, Georgie. Hey, are you naughty on tonight's episode of Talking About Your Generation at all?
I'm very loose. It is a PG show, isn't it? But you are given the brief at the beginning, do whatever you want, and I just did.
Good.
I just totally. There's something about Sean McAuliffe that just lets you. It's like working with a 9-year-old. You know, when a 9-year-old's just like, oh, yeah, we can glue a monkey to a Barbie and, you know, and just all kinds of weird things. Just whatever you feel like next on that show. I loved it.
I haven't really ever thought about gluing a monkey to a barbecue, Georgie.
I only just thought of it. I've had 9-year-olds. I've got my boys sat in front of me now. They're just getting ready for school. Got me. How old are you two now? 14 and 15. What is it worth? Who are you again?
I'm concerned that the conversation's gone from gluing monkeys to barbecues to your children. What do you do at home, Georgie?
I'm a very normal, sedate mother.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Hey, can I ask, you're also a nurse as well. How did the contrast of being a nurse and a stand-up comedian, was that hard to balance?
Oh, God, it was. I didn't realise how hard until I left nursing, so I quit on the 3rd of Jan. You know that it's that time of year when you start making yourself new promises. And life was just so fast. I was working in the emergency department and touring comedy and... Yeah, something had to give, and the family wouldn't leave. So, I dropped.
It's always the way, bloody family getting in the way.
I dropped the nursing, and I miss it a little bit. But I just think you don't have the time.
But Georgie,
you can't be everywhere.
How did you find out you were funny? Were you just doing stand-up gear on patients when they got wheeled in with like bullet wounds or something? You're like, hey, funny joke about that.
People have always said, oh, you should do comedy. Like, no one ever says you should be a model. just always, oh, you should so do comedy. Oh. And I think I'm just an adrenaline junkie. You know, like, I think I could be a rock climber if I could be bothered.
Have you seen 27 Hours?
I haven't seen 27 Hours. Have you seen The Dawn Wall?
No, I haven't.
So much better.
Really?
Yeah, so you watch them in the right order. Yeah, so... Everybody who's seen the one you're talking about is like, watch that one first and then Dawn Wall because it's better.
Do they
both? Yeah, when you watch it, go on.
I was going to say, do they both cut off their arms in it or?
the other one, I can't tell you what he does because it'll ruin it. But yeah, it's a lot. Well, he does a route that no one's done before. Anyway, that's kind of what I like doing. I like failing and getting better. I'm like the world's best pokey machine. Like, my whole life is just.
Spitting out money.
Seeing what I can do.
In that case, let's hang out sometime because I could do with a couple of dollar coins in my pocket. Yeah.
I don't think that's how pokey machines work.
Well, we've got a pokey problem around here in the Goulburn Valley, so you might need to pay a visit, Georgie.
Yeah,
surely in Shepparton. Surely not in Shepparton. Surely there's loads to do.
Surely not.
Well, the only thing we're going to be doing tonight, Georgie, is watching Talk About Your Generation, 7:30 p.m.
Thanks.
On Channel 9. We're looking forward to seeing you on it.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, I feel like I need to wrap this conversation up because I just don't know where it's going to go next. Like, we've really covered many different things.
Anywhere. You know, I'm literally going to hang up from this phone call. I'm going to go onto our work balcony, Georgie, and I'm going to try gluing a monkey to our work barbecue just to see what happens, okay?
Yeah,
thank you for your inspiration.
Well, do you know what? While you do that, Josiah, I'm going to play her out with a bit of Billie.
Billie Eilish. Welcome.
Just for you, Georgie Carroll. Thanks so much for coming on the show this morning.
This This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch-Up with Josiah and Ellie.
I want to tell you a little bedtime story, Josiah, about a man over in England. His name's Leonard Durkin.
Hello, Leonard.
Mr. Dirks. He's died.
Durkin.
So sorry about it. At the age of 71, after a long history of heart problems.
I hope him and his family are okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Durkin.
He's okay. He's okay. Well, he's not okay, actually, because he's dead.
And his surname's Durkin.
Whoa! Do not speak ill of the dead!
You know what? Even before he died, his life was no good because he had the surname Durkin.
Don't be rude. We could have some Durkins in the GV. Shout out to the Mr. and Mrs. Durkins in the GV
this
morning.
And if you do, you've got a terrible name as well.
Hey! At least it's not Merkin. Mr. Durkin had a dying wish, and that was that on the way to his funeral, he wanted to go through a Burger King and get a double bacon cheeseburger and then be buried.
Oh, wait, hang on. He's dead. He can't eat.
Yeah, but he just got placed on top of his coffin.
Come on.
So his son went through the drive-thru in the big old hearse thing, got a bacon, double bacon cheeseburger, and popped it on top of the coffin. And then when the coffin got walked down the aisle or whatever you call it, the bacon and double bacon cheeseburger was sitting there.
Mr. Durkin, what are you doing, mate? I feel like this is something that you would do as well. There's a lot of similarities between you and Mr. Durkin.
100%. Bury me with 70 cheeseburgers, please. That would be amazing.
You'd want 70 cheeseburgers and a flash mob and probably Mr. Durkin next to you.
Yeah. Well, just it's funny you bring this up because I figured that I've never really verbalized my dying wishes. And like hearing Mr. Durkin's story, I'm like, oh, God, what if I die tomorrow?
Well, this guy's 72 and had heart problems his whole life. Yeah. You're what, 27?
Yeah.
So why are you thinking about dying now?
Because I could get hit by a bus. I could walk in front of like oncoming traffic accidentally tomorrow.
Although with all the Coke Zeros you drink, who knows with your heart?
Yeah, I know, right? Exactly.
What am I doing for your funeral?
What I would like, I just want to put it on the record, the things I'd like. Firstly, I would like to be cremated. So if you could just jot that down.
Yeah, I think I want to get cremated as well.
Okay, cool. Well, this isn't about you. I want my ashes to be scattered at this beach that I know in Western Australia.
Yeah, I think I do too.
The same beach?
Yeah, same one.
No, we are not going to the afterlife together. I get enough of you in this current life. I do not want to see you in the good place.
Imagine me haunting you.
I know. I don't want to. Actually, I hope I go first so I can haunt you.
Oh, no, thank you.
Oh, my God. I'm going to play so many pranks on you because you're such a scaredy cat.
And Mr. Durkin. Yeah, I am scared of
me
ghosts.
Me and Mr. Durks are going to come down. Quick trip to Macca's and then off to your place to haunt you. No, but there's one thing in particular that I really want you to do, Josiah. This is really important to me. At my funeral, I want you to make sure that this happens. I want everyone to be sitting in the church. I guess I'll get, cremated in church. And I want the doors of the church to open with my coffin to be carried in. And I want this song to play.
The party don't start till I walk in.
Don't smell my forebearers. Just come down the aisle holding me, dancing, flash mob, yes.
Hang on, what if it's a tragic death or something?
No, it doesn't matter. The party don't start till I walk in and I just walked in. Well, I got carried in.
What if we don't want a party? And what if we don't want to dance to Kesha? What if we're crying over your mourning your loss?
Josiah, it is my dying wish. Promise me. Are you promising me?
How old are we talking? Because if you're 72 like Mr. Durkin, then I kind of understand is you've lived a life we can celebrate. But if you're dying anytime soon, Ellie.
Josiah, stop being so selfish about this and just give me what I want, okay? All I want is Kesha and maybe a cheeseburger too.
Okay,
throw that in.
Just let me tell you this. Yes. I have permission? Because I will do it.
Yeah.
If you give me permission to do a live radio show from your funeral as well.
Oh, my God, outside broadcast.
Yes.
Yes, and the only song you're allowed to play on the whole broadcast
for 3 hours.
Josiah and Ellie.
A story piqued my interest yesterday, Josiah. I was sitting in this studio. I looked up on the TV, and on TV I saw the biggest pig I've ever seen in my life. And I thought, I've got to investigate this further.
You weren't looking in the mirror, were you?
I was actually looking at you, surprisingly enough.
Oh, right.
And I realised that this pig is kind of local. It's a Wangaratta pig, and its name is Grunt, and it's owned by Matthew Evans, who joins us now. Morning, Matthew.
Morning.
Thanks for coming on the show this morning. Now, you're the owner of Grunt the pig, and you're having a bit of a legal battle with him at the moment. Can you tell us what's been going on?
Well, it all started out, came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. The council sent me a letter saying I could no longer keep Grunt on my 6 acres. Mm. But I shot them an email back saying I could keep 6 pigs according to the law. And they were radio silent for 2 months.
Yeah.
And then they sent another letter saying, you're banned from all council land because you infringe on the enjoyment of others.
What? Can I ask, Matthew, what do you reckon their problem is with the pig? Because they obviously have something that's, you know, up their butts about it.
I don't know, because apparently the mayor didn't even know that he was banned until, like, Friday.
Right. So when you say council land, does that mean you can keep it on your private property but you can't take him for a walk?
I can't take him for a walk down my street.
Right.
And I live in semi-residential. Like, there's a field right next to my house.
Can I ask, is a 300-kilogram pig hard to walk? Because I find just walking the German Shepherd hard, and that's less than 40 kilos, let alone a 300-kilogram pig.
Well, you know how a dog pulls you along? I kind of have to pull the pig along.
Really?
Yeah.
He's not keen on a walk?
He gets real. Well, there's occasions where he finds some food on the ground that he should not be eating, and I have to pull him along to coax him away, like cigarette butts, cans of beer. Just straight up plastic.
Grunt loves a frothy, does he? Don't we all? Okay, I feel like I've got so many questions about this. So what made you want to be the owner of a 300-kilo pig? Did you know he was going to be 300 kilo? Tell me everything.
Okay, I've always wanted a pig, and he's a rescue. One day a person came into my mother's cafe, and my sister knew I wanted a pig and said, I've got this pig and he's growing too big for me. And I was like, do you know anyone that wants one? And he was like, my brother wants one. He desperately wants one. And so I got a pig.
This is amazing.
So does he come in your house and like sleep on your bed with you? What's the extent of the friendship?
He used to sleep on my bed before I got a girlfriend. And he used to come in the house before he scratched his butt on a kitchen table, which collapsed.
Whoa. Tough decision, oh though, a 300-kilogram pig or your girlfriend. I don't know which one I'd choose.
I don't think she would like that example.
I don't think she'd fit either.
No.
How old is Grunt?
Grunt is 3 years old, and I've had him for about 2.5 of that.
Right. Okay. So now the council's saying it's an $800 fine if you take him on this council property. How confident are you that you're going to get that overturned and be able to roam Grunt freely?
I'm not overly confident because the mayor has been on the news so many times that his like position has slowly gotten worse.
Yeah, right. Is he dangerous at all? What's their problem?
No, he's not dangerous. He's like if one of those persons on the slow Vespa started slowly moving towards you, you could get out of the way.
Yeah, right.
All right. Can I ask, you obviously are well known around Wangaratta because if you've seen a man with a 300-kilogram pig going for a walk down the street, I'm guessing everyone knows you, Matthew. Does Grunt bring a lot of joy to people around? Because you'd think this would be a really good thing. He's a bit notorious around town.
Yeah, he is notorious around town. Some people call him the Christmas pig because I do a pretty spectacular light display at my house. And we get like 100 to 300 people a night come past and pat him and look at all the lights.
Yeah, right.
And I've also, why it complexes me so is in the past, the council has asked me to walk him around the show.
Oh, really?
Weird.
Wow.
I know.
Matthew, so Matthew, you and I need a beer. You sound like you've got a few stories up your sleeve.
Oh, yeah. I got plenty of stories about my pig. He's quite a character.
Yeah. Oh, well, we wish you the best of luck with the battle that you're facing. And fingers crossed they'll relent a little bit and let you keep walking him because it sounds like a pretty cool thing for Wangaratta to have, just a town pig.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, Matthew, if we came up one arvo and met Grunt, would we be able to get a couple of selfies and take him for a walk around?
Yeah, sure. A walk around my house is all good.
Yeah. We probably won't risk the fine, but we'll come for a walk around. All right, mate. Well, we'll keep in touch and we'll try and take Grunt for a walk with you very soon, okay?
No problem.
This is The Catch-Up with Josiah and Ellie.
Hey, yesterday we talked about on the show a new policy that Air New Zealand have unveiled, and that is to say that their staff are allowed to have visible tattoos, which up until then hadn't been a thing. If you had tats, you had to cover them up. And so we got talking about tats and we did a little Call us, 13 12 16, if your tats ever held you back. And we got a very fascinating call from Cassandra. She joins us now. Now, this kind of rings a bell with you, does it, Cass?
Yeah, I'm actually covered in tattoos.
And how's it gone with you? Have you had any jobs turned down because of it?
Yeah, so I was a stay-at-home mum for a while until my youngest went to school, and then I tried to get back into the workforce, and my qualification is administration. And it actually took me 3 years to find a job in administration.
You're
due
kidding.
To my tattoos. Yep.
Well, could you cover them all up, Cassandra, or are they like on your fingers and stuff?
If I'm fully in jumpers and tracky pants, you wouldn't be able to tell that I have a tattoo at all.
Mm.
But summertime, you're obviously not going to wear a jumper and tracky pants.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I actually had a few emails received from jobs saying that I didn't fit their physical appearance criteria.
Stop it. Wow.
Yeah, so,
surely
yeah,
that's discrimination.
Yeah, well, that's what I put it down to as well, and it made me actually quite frustrated about it.
I can imagine.
And it's just not job searching as well. It's everyday life. Like, I get some elderly people, like, making really vulgar comments like, oh, that's disgusting. That's so unladylike.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Do you think
and,
they
like,
need to...
I have children as well. It affects, like, the way people look at me as a parent.
Of course. Do you find that something needs to be done? Because obviously you can't discriminate for so many other areas in life. Do you reckon should they like, maybe even it's a law that needs to be put in to go against discrimination, or do you think they'd argue back that it was your choice to do that?
Well, I probably think they'd argue back because it is a personal choice to put ink onto your body.
Mm.
But I don't have anything vulgar on my body. And like I have both legs done and my chest done as a woman.
Yeah, right.
And that was my personal choice to do that. But when it comes to finding a job, my ink should not be affecting my job.
Fair enough
as
well.
And I think that's where people's judgmentalness comes into it, yeah.
Can I ask why you do have you covered? Is it like an art form? Is that how you express yourself?
Yeah, because I had a pretty troubled childhood. So
everything
on my body is actually representation of my childhood moving into, like, a stronger person.
Yeah, right.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so...
So no regrets?
No, nothing. I have no regrets at all.
Mm.
It was getting to me when I was job searching and I couldn't actually find a job and I was getting emails stating that it was from my tattoos. But at the end of the day, it is my choice. It is my body and that's my human right.
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't judge other people for what they look like, how they look, the colour of their hair, the colour of their skin or anything. So why should people judge me on my ink on my body?
100%, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, well, it's really interesting, Cassandra. Thanks so much for calling us today.
No, that's okay.
Hey, I want to talk about this a little bit more because I've done a little bit of research and it turns out there are no discrimination laws when it comes to tattoos. So obviously there's discrimination against gender and against, you know, sexuality and...
All forms of inequality.
Yeah, exactly. But there's nothing surrounding tattoos. So an employer is within its rights to say cover up your tats. So, Goulburn Valley, guess what it's time for? What
did she say? Welcome to Have Your Say.
Have Your Say. Do you think there should be laws protecting those tattooed members of society, of which pretty much majority of people now have tats?
In my opinion, and I know a lot of people listening do have tats, I think it determines, depending on what your job is, that has a big say in it.
Yep.
And because it is a choice, I feel like it's more on you. Whereas with other discrimination things, they can argue that it wasn't their choice to be like that or how they were born, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with tattoos, you choose to have them. Obviously, different jobs, change it. Like we could have tattoos, no worries in our jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But there are people out there that need a certain look and a certain thing. If you're a lawyer or something, for example. So in my opinion, I don't think we need a law for it.
All right. 13, 12, 16. Give us your thoughts this morning, Goulburn Valley. Should there be laws surrounding protecting people with tats?
Heat breakfast with Josiah and Ellie.
Let's go to Kim from Shep. Kim, what are your thoughts?
I think there should be laws to do it. I have tattoos and, I put them in positions that I can make sure that they're covered up.
Mm-hmm.
But in my career, so I'm in the education career, I don't actually need to have them covered up. And I think even though, like I said, it's my choice to have them, it's also like people's choice to dye their hair or get piercings or to publicly display something.
Can I ask, if you got your dream job and you're doing the best thing ever, whatever you do, and your employer turns around and says, we love you, you're perfect for the job, but can you get rid of that tattoo? Would you go through the removalist process?
No, I wouldn't, because I'm in my perfect job. I'm in my dream job.
There you go. And they're happy and comfortable with everything that you've got.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Good on you, Kim. How many tats do you have? Are you fully tatted? Fully inked up?
I'm not fully tatted, but I have 9 tattoos.
Yeah, right. 9. Good effort.
And some of them are very hard to cover.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, thanks so much for getting involved this morning.
Thank you.
All right. Let's move on to Corey from Shep. Corey, what are your thoughts on this? Should we be having laws to protect tatted people?
Listen, I've got tattoos as well, and I think there shouldn't be laws put in place for it. I think it really is. It depends what job you're going for, really.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I work in a bar, and I'm lucky to work at JB Hi-Fi as well, where they're not discriminated against. But if I was to go for a job where it demanded me to look a certain way, I'd understand if I got knocked back for it.
Yeah, so yeah. If you had a neck tat or tats on your fingers, for example, Corey, and you wanted to be a lawyer up at the High Courts here in Shep, and they turned around and said, sorry, Corey, you don't suit our look, would you be offended or you'd understand, you're saying?
I'd understand. Like, if I had a teardrop tattoo or something like that, I'd sort of understand, you know. Like, I could sort of get that.
Yeah, no, I understand. Whereas if you're a tradie or if you're in radio like us, maybe, you know, go for what fits your description, I guess.
What if you commit to a career early, later in life and you've got these tats, you know, in your 20s? What about that in that respect?
It's something that you've got to be mindful of when you're getting these tattoos, though, as well. Like, you've got to understand that if you do want to go another path or, any sort of commitment to a career path, you've got to understand that it may come up later at some point.
And this is why it's so important, Corey, isn't it? Before you get a tattoo, and this is why my dad stressed to me so much, don't ever get anything unless you're 110% and you're willing to commit with it for life.
That's it. No regrets.
No regrets.
You know what, Corey? I'm going to go get no regrets tattooed on my face today.
100%. You're going to get tattooed, no regrets.
You know what? And I could keep my job as well.
Yeah.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch Up with Josiah and Ellie.
Turn it around. All women have an ability to turn any statement into an argument. Because we need to, because a lot of the times dudes say stupid stuff.
I mean, all women's a bit of a stretch, but let's roll with it for the sake of the segment. This morning I'm going to kick off with a couple of statements. Let's see how you go.
All right, hit me.
I mentioned it earlier in the show, but Donald Trump, he's come out this morning and he's called Kim Jong-un beautiful.
I know. No one ever calls me beautiful. It's like, I have a boyfriend, I have friends, I have a co-host, I have like parents. No one's ever like, Ellie, you're beautiful. And yet Donald Trump can call Kim Jong-un beautiful at the drop of a hat, the two most like controversial dudes in the world.
You reckon that's got anything to do with that jumper you're wearing this morning?
Oh, don't you get started on my jumpers. Do not get started on my jumper. This is a nice little cotton on number. Was only like $25 or something, and it's very comfortable.
Well, there is a severe weather warning that's hitting later this morning, Ellie. Is that anything to do with why you're wearing that jumper?
No, do you know what? There's nothing to do with the climate outside your site. It's the climate inside this studio. There is a storm about to hit this show, and I'm going to be at the helm of it.
Well, speaking of inside this studio, remember that time we had a farty party on the show last Friday? Yeah, because there's still balloons and streamers set up. So are we still celebrating or?
I thought we made an agreement off the air to not ever bring up the farty party again. Because I did not fart. I was pressured into saying something on the radio by the party and all the friends that were involved. I didn't fart. Girls don't fart.
If only you wore that jumper when you farted. Ellie, you're actually going away for a week in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
Are you excited for holidays?
Yes, I'm so excited to get away from you because every day I get to work and I slog my guts out for this radio show. I have to sit across from you for 3 hours plus the rest of the hours that we spend planning this show, and I need to get away.
And I can't press the buttons.
And the buttons just screwed up on me.
Are you going to be taking that jumper on holidays with you?
Oh, my God. That is it.
This is The Catch Up with Josiah and Ellie.